Blog Talk Radio.
Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'll be your host, Ron Golden. I wanted to play that little throwback all the way back to the primary season. You know, just damn. Damn you, America. And damn you, all you people that ran around saying we've got to support Romney, Ron Paul can't win. It just pisses me off. Because I look at what could have been, and what is. But I don't want to digress too far down that road. I did see today that Paul Ryan was booed at the inauguration. Bravo. Probably not for the reasons he should have been, but that's okay. I want to start out talking tonight about the NICS, that is the National Instant crime background check system. And Robert, I see you on hold, and I will pick you up, I promise, but I want to get through this. And actually, Robert would be a good guy to look through these numbers since he has already been through the statistical analysis portion of his education. The NICS started in earnest in 1998. I have numbers documented through 2012. From 1998 until 2012, there has been a total of 159,353,365 instant background checks ran for the purchase, sale, transfer of a firearm. The exception to that rule is that there were 38,594,002 background checks run for a permit. So those wouldn't count as an actual weapons purchase. Now, out of that total of 100 and we'll round it up, 115 million checks, we had a total of 987,587 denials. People that were denied the ability to exercise their Second Amendment right. So I thought, you know, I wonder what the efficacy of the program truly is. How effective is it? I mean, did we actually apprehend 987,578 bad guys? Or is it simply a matter of typical government snafu, where a huge number of innocent, law-abiding American citizens were caught up in a government dragnet? Well, of course, I could not find a report on the overall numbers and prosecution rate. So I had to resort to one that I did find pretty easily. And that was the year 2010. In the year 2010, we had a total of 76,142 denials. Now, think about that for a minute. 76,142 people in the year 2010 were denied the ability to exercise their Second Amendment right because of the instant background check. And I'm not arguing against it. I'm just trying to present some numbers and put things in a little bit of perspective, if we can. Now, out of those cases, how many people would you suppose were actually prosecuted? Because after all, and let me back up just a little bit. In order to have a denial, you have to fill out the form and falsify information on the form. You have to lie. Now, it could be an accidental lie in that there was something in your background that you didn't know actually excluded you or possibly could exclude you. Perhaps you had a misdemeanor charge, 10 years ago, and for some crazy reason, that misdemeanor charge carried with it the possibility of a 2-year prison sentence if you were convicted. Now, you weren't convicted, and, you know, it was a felonious charge, it was a fallacious charge, and it was dismissed. Nonetheless, you were charged with a crime. And I suppose it says convicted. I'll have to go back and find it. But anyway, the long story short, it's easy to see how someone could forget something that minuscule in their past. So that's really not something that you would want to prosecute. If I'm the prosecutor, that's a non-starter. So out of this gigantic mass of 76,142 people that were denied, a total of 4,184 cases were absolutely kicked right to the curb at the field office level. They just said, no, this is ridiculous, and we're not going to prosecute. Out of that 76,142 cases, we have a grand total, ladies and gentlemen, of 62 cases put forth for prosecution. And out of that, there were a total of 33 people that were, their cases were moved up the chain to actually prosecute. 33 out of 76,142 people, 33 were actually found to be in violation of the law to the point where they could prosecute these people and possibly get a conviction. And 22 of them were for falsifying information. And 11 of them were convicted felons. Out of 76,000, you have 11 convicted felons. And now, we don't go into, of course, the felony with which they were convicted of, because, you know, that might reveal that, you know, it was less than an actual felony, but because of the ignorant laws that have been passed, it's just about a felony to pass gas in public these days. So I'm not trying to diminish the instant background check. I personally think it's an okay idea to try and make sure that people aren't falling through the cracks. I don't believe it should be a federal thing, but I understand logistically why it is. But truly, we stopped 940,000 people from exercising their Second Amendment right over the time period that this system has been in place. And based on the numbers of actual prosecutions, we're talking less than one-tenth of 1%. It's ridiculous. There were some records broken recently, and I think this really speaks volumes as to where we're at as a society. The top 10 highest days of processing applications for a firearm ownership background checks. Number 10 was December 17th of this past year, 2012, at 112,393 in a single day. The highest week belongs to December 17th to December 23rd of 2012, with just shy of 1 million applications in a single week. And I think that it's interesting for more than one reason. It certainly is a reflection on the mindset of the American public after they went and voted for Barack Obama or Romney for president. They knew or should have known that neither one of these gentlemen had their constitutional rights at heart when they were up for election. And in spite of the bull crap that spouted forth out of the Caliph in Chief's mouth today. He doesn't give a damn about your constitutional rights. And I think that the numbers of people rushing to buy guns just bolsters that opinion by a very large number of people in this country. Now, I earlier posted an article, a link to an article, and we can all remember the Chicken Little Sky is Falling accusations against Alex Jones and others who were putting forth articles about your federal government making large ammunition purchases. And while it's easy to get down in the trenches and get after some, yes, and Mike, that is a hot seat original, the Caliphin Chief. I must give my buddy Mike from the hot seat full credit and recognition for that phrase, Caliphin Chief. And I did tell him I was going to steal it, but I will certainly give credit where credit is due. I think that it's easy to get down in the trenches and get lost in all of the various aspects of all the different conspiracy possibilities that abound in this day and age. Many of them because there's just so much information available. Some of it's accurate, most of it is not. But I try to apply the Occam's razor theory most times. Try not to be emotional when I'm looking at things. And for those that don't understand Occam's razor, Occam's razor, simply stated, is that out of all possible answers or solutions to a problem, typically the simplest explanation is the correct explanation. Now, I don't know, you know, the whole Sandy Hook conspiracy. I've intentionally tried to stay out of it, not read it. It's a really don't want to know kind of thing because I cannot go down that rabbit hole. Just not going to happen. All that being said, we've known for decades that the progressive moonbats despise the idea that we have individual rights. That those rights come from our Creator, God, and that those rights exist with or without the existence of government. They despise it. And one of the biggest ones that they absolutely despise is the Second Amendment recognition of our right of self-defense, of our person and our property. The right to keep and bear arms. They know that they cannot possibly push any gun bill through Congress that'll have any kind of meaningful impact whatsoever. But I think they learned a lesson from the last time around in 2008 and 9 when a little hiccup in the system created chaos in the gun world. Ammunition was on absolute shortage. That little hiccup, by the way, was the election of Barack Obama as Caliphin Chief. And then the government set out putting out orders to manufacturers for large quantities of ammunition. They did a few other things behind the scenes as well that were exposed. There are several contracts out there for used or spent casings, brass, military brass, stuff that they use in training at military bases. The military does not use reloaded ammunition, So they sell those brass casings off to reloaders, large companies that buy this stuff by the truckload, and they reload ammunition and sell it to the public. And back in 2008, I believe it was, it may have been 2009, that the government would no longer allow the shipment of wholly intact brass cartridges. The brass had to first be destroyed, shredded, okay, before they would send it out to the suppliers, and it created a huge backlash in the gun community. And that was eventually rescinded, and they went about their business. Pardon me, I'm trading silverware with my wife, who always manages to feed me dinner right at showtime. I don't know how her timing can be so good, but she is perfect. Anyway, couple that with the Aurora shooting, the Sandy Hook shooting, and it is absolutely brutal out there trying to get ammunition, and people that did not plan ahead, that did not learn their lessons, and I'm glad you all find this very humorous, from the past debacle and prepare for it, they're hurting. A lot of police departments are running into shortages for ammunition. And it just shouldn't be that way. But here we are. So if the government throws a kink in the pipeline for the supply of ammunition, they don't have to ban any firearms because ammunition has gone through the ceiling price-wise. And then you're going to end up with local police running shortages as well. And the situation ends up where you have the civilians and the citizens where they're not able to properly defend themselves. And I've got a caller on the line here, Mr. Robert, who's been very patiently waiting, so I am going to pick him up now. Mr. Robert, welcome aboard. I got to ask you, have you changed your email address?
Yes, I did. Well, yeah, I did. It's rskaplan11@comcast.net.
Okay. Well, I got a returned email the other day, so I thought I would ask, but you didn't have to tell everybody on the listening.
That's okay. Everybody can, shows welcome to email me.
So what's on your mind this fine evening?
I don't know, Ron. I've just been watching all day, all this stuff.
Well, you know, and I meant to comment on that. I think this is an alignment of the stars, don't you, with the holiday and the inauguration of our high priest of the caliphate all on the same day?
I know. I mean, it's going to be a long 4 years, that's all I can say. If we can outlive this next 4 years, we're doing all right. That's all I can say.
I'm thinking that there has got to be a rapper party going on in D.C. tonight. I mean, they have got to just flat be getting down.
I'm sure. I mean, something bothered me today on the news. Fox News bothered me today. And it was Chris Wallace said this word. And he used it probably three times. It was defining Obama's agenda for the next 4 years. And I don't know if he caught it. If I'm wrong, if I'm using it in the wrong context, but he used the word majesty. I don't know if anybody caught it or not. When I heard him say majesty, it maybe it made me think a lot all day long.
You know,
I didn't know what to think of it, Ron. Maybe Mike can help me out.
Well, because I don't watch Fox News or any of the others, or only on very rare occasions.
Oh, man.
I didn't see it, but of course I was at work also, and I just try to make it a point not to listen to all those talking jackasses.
I just thought it was weird that he used that term.
I would be interested to hear the absolute context in which it was used.
I know. I can't. It went by me so quickly. I just couldn't digest it. But the word stuck out. Really, you know, it just stuck out like a sore thumb. It was just there, majesty. Now, why would someone use to describe a speech as majesty?
Right. Well, it was very majestic. Or maybe Obama looked at majestic. I don't know. Was he wearing a crown of thorns or?
No. That's what I don't understand. I wish I would have listened to that sentence. But he didn't repeat it again. So usually he repeats himself, but he didn't repeat himself this time. And I can't get the whole quote. I couldn't get the whole quote this time. Usually I'm pretty right on the money, but this time not. And that's
well, you
why
know,
I'm back.
I'm learning. I'm learning my travels exactly how it is that things can be misconstrued or misspoken, if you want to say that. Some of these people have an agenda that they will go to obscene lengths to try and obfuscate reality. And I want to give you an example. There's a guy on one of the forums that I visit that, he's a jerk. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. He's a self-professed atheist, and that's fine. If you want to be a fool, be a fool. But on the forum, he constantly gets on the religious section of the forum and just loves to berate and try to bait all the Christians that come in to have a discussion about God and their beliefs. So he's constantly, you know, just poking at these people. And he and I got into a debate, one in which the guy has a BS in communications, okay? So he knows the English language very well, far better than I do. And I'm not ashamed to admit that. But he uses it as a tool to try and further his agenda in such a way that it's childish. Now, he made a statement, and his statement was, God does not exist, period. That is a fact, period. I might be wrong, but I don't think so, period. And I told him that it is not a fact. It is his opinion, stated as fact. The debate went on about whether or not it was a factual statement. He declared it was a statement of fact. What he means is that if you truly believe something, okay, and you state that belief, then your statement, as far as your opinion goes, is a statement of fact. That doesn't mean that your statement is factually accurate. It's only factual in regards to your belief. Talk about straining a gnat. You know, and I told him, I said, the plain and simple truth is, it's your opinion. The existence of God or the absence of God is not provable in a scientific sense of the word. We don't know. And as Christians, this is the point where we have to rely on faith. It blew my mind that, you know, we would go to the level of just tomfoolery with the English language just to try to discredit me in a conversation, which I thought was just asinine.
People like that, you can't debate them.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's what I told him. I said, you know, you're not interested in debating the actual context of, you know, is there a God or is there not a God? You're just interested in trying to piss everyone off and pollute the pool of believers that come in wanting to discuss their faith in God.
I'm sure there will be reruns on it. If you can catch it later on tonight, please do, because you have to hear the word. He said it three times, Ron. I mean, he just said it with majesty three times.
Well, I am certain that there will be clips on YouTube and elsewhere of that presentation. So we need to do that.
I just want to know. I want to know what the interpretation of that word meant and why it was said in the way it was said. That's what I want to know.
Right.
I just can't figure it out. I try beating my brains out all day long over this, and maybe Linda saw it. I don't know. Maybe Michael Magic saw it. But
Chris Wallace, Mike from the hot seat, is asking who said this. And it was Chris Wallace on Fox News. Now, here's something else that I wanted to bring up, because it's another one of those tools that has been used and abused to remove or separate we the people from our sovereignty, and in particular on the state level, and that is the 14th Amendment. And I really want to address the 14th Amendment. I think as a patriot community, we need to start pushing for an amendment to the amendment, if you will, rewording the amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That portion of the 14th Amendment needs to be removed. Okay? And the reason being is that, and this is only stare decisis or case precedence, which is common law, and that is that the Supreme Court has ruled in the past that phrase, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, means subject to the exclusive jurisdiction of Congress and Assembly. That needs to be removed. And it says, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. That also needs to be removed. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. That needs to be removed. I guess, you know...
He just wants the whole thing removed.
No, I don't want the whole thing removed because I think some of it is there are some decent things in here, but it needs to be reworded. And I think we can all agree at this point that, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but are we not adult enough as a nation today that we're not worried we're going to descend back into slavery? And besides, you got the 13th Amendment there. So I think that should be, you know, it's a non-starter. But we've got to get, hold on, we've got to get rid of the idea of this incorporation doctrine because it's garbage. It is pure, utter nonsense. And it should not exist.
And then, you know, the whole question is this immigration reform. When someone comes up here illegally and they have a baby here in the United States, and that baby is automatically a naturalized citizen, but the mother is not, and they want to deport that baby back to where the mother came from. So that's the lying issue there. That's why there's no immigration reform, because they're not going to do it.
Well,
you know they're not going to do it.
Yeah, the problem is common sense. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
At least not inside the Beltway.
Look,
if I hear the phrase pathway to citizenship one more time, I'm gonna snap. We already have one.
Oh,
and the people
God.
That are here illegally have already demonstrated they're not interested in following that pathway.
No.
So, I mean, you know, this crap goes right down the same line as we need more gun control. It's already been demonstrated it doesn't freaking work, which is why we need more of it. If we had more of it, maybe it would work a little better. I mean, I don't get it.
I believe gun control and immigration, gun control or immigration reform go hand in hand. If you want to know my true belief on that, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but
well, of course they do. Because look, if the long term goal is to diminish the American culture and to convert our culture to a more European type of culture, then yes, you've got to eliminate even the very idea that you could own a gun. My God, what a bunch of savages. And then, of course, you dilute the gene pool with a bunch of Latin Americans, and voila. You've killed the American culture. Yes.
In my town of Venice, where you visited me, okay,
mm-hmm.
I never seen so many foreign people in my lifetime living here now. It's truly amazing. And by the way, they had this new bar on Venice Avenue where we had our micro beers right down to another block. It's called the Dagley Bar. Ron,
yes.
I never seen Venice happen on a Saturday night in my entire life on this 57 years I've lived here. I mean, this town was hopping. Just hopping.
Well, it's good that it's hopping, and it's not necessarily a bad thing that we have foreign people coming to this country. You know, I went Sunday and purchased another firearm from a local dealer here and I know this is going to be difficult for somebody like Linda to even wrap her mind around, and she is on the line with us. A gun dealer that sells firearms, or I'm sorry, I've got to stop using that term. He sells guns out of his Ace Hardware store. He is a naturalized American citizen. He wasn't born here. He's from overseas. One of the best Americans I've met in a long time. And you know why? Because those people who come here from other countries, who have lived under severe oppression, they get it. They know what the hell is going on. And that man stood there and he said, I'm a born-again Christian, and I'm an American, and I will die for this country. These illegal immigrants coming in, the freeloaders, they're here for one thing, and they don't give a damn about this country or our culture or anything to do with freedom. Miss Linda, how are you?
Very good, sir. How are you? And Robert, hello, and everyone in the chat room. Great to see all the people in the chat room. to answer Robert's question earlier on, I have avoided the radio when the President Pinocchio speaks, and that's the most polite term I can use at this point. I don't watch any of the inauguration on TV. I actually had a really good time watching Glenn Beck's hour show of his first annual inauguration, the Myth of the Misfits Ball, which is all the patriotic people, and it was great. It was very good. Nice parody on what's going on in wherever the heck, D.C., I guess. I don't care about these people anymore, you know, and Ron is absolutely correct because every single person who's ever gone onto a talk show or written a blog or wrote a story to a newspaper or whatever who has come from oppressive, tyrannical governments knows because they've lived under it, and they get it huge. They look at us and they're going, holy God, what the hell are you people doing? I was at a meeting Thursday, which my friend Chris, who does a lot of publications and she does a lot of research, she handed me two pamphlets. The first one, oh, and you're going to love the dates on this one. It was 1888 through 2013, or 2012, I guess she cut it off there, on the complete infiltration in this country, of all of our religious and church institutions by these communists, New World Order, Fabian Socialist, rat bastards. And the names in there, wait till you hear my Wednesday show. You guys are not going to get this anywhere else. I'm telling you, I was reading it. My mother read it. She was like going, oh, my God. And I said, yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? I mean, it's all these dates. And I was listening to Rosa Corey today, and I sent it to Bill because we were on chat on her 40-minute explanation, quite beautifully explained about Agenda 21, who's behind it, what's going on. And I'm telling you, she has traced this back to the Fabians as well. All this started with that whole period. I mean, we've got Lenin, Stalin, Marx, Hess, Engels. All of it goes back to these dates, and this is when it started. So we're looking at huge, huge ties to this, connecting the dots. So it's scary. People have got to wake up. I don't know what else to do but try.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I think drives me to continue arguing with this jackass atheist. Aside from the fact that, as my wife will tell you, I'm always right. But egos aside, whether this guy realizes it or not, and I don't believe he does, I know the agenda behind the atheist, homosexual, progressive, anything and everything goes movement. I know the frickin' agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to let him pollute the rest of the people on that forum. So my argument with him, or my debating with him, as Doc pointed out, arguing with a fool really is a futile effort. It is and it isn't. If the debate is public and it exposes the fool for the fool that he is, and other people see that, then they're going to disregard pretty much everything the man says. He's kind of like the devil perched over in the corner, and a new guy comes in and starts talking about God, and he's over there going, hey, man, you know that's not real, right? You are smart enough to know that God's not real. He doesn't exist. I mean, what are you, a freaking idiot? Okay? So if I can cut him off at the kneecaps of trying to whisper that bullcrap in people's ears, I'm going to do all I can to do so.
Well, you know, when you talked about the idiots, especially like the Bloom Turds and the Andrew Kumquats and the, you know, Diane Frankensteins and the rest of them, that's what I call it now. These guys, they want to throw more laws at this, like you said, in the hopes of fixing the problem, which is impossible anyway. You cannot thwart evil, you know, by putting something on a piece of paper. And I contend and submit to you that this is not the goal. The goal is to disarm us. And that's pure and simple, and we've got to fight it. And I've been doing it every day.
I think we need to pull back, and we've talked about this on the show before and on your show and on others. The goal, stated or unstated, is to rebuild Babylon.
We know, yes. Yep.
And you know, I understand where you're coming from, that this started, you know, back
in earnest, yeah.
Right,
absolutely.
Right. No, I get that, and I'm not trying to diminish what you're saying there in any way. I agree wholeheartedly. But I think that it actually began the day after the destruction of Babylon the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
They keep doing
Day, everybody's trying to figure out, how do we rebuild this beautiful thing that we had?
And you know what? All these people from Babylon forward can be traced back to these worshipers of the light bearer. Every single one of them. And I can name names, but I'm not going to. I'll wait till Wednesday. I'm telling you, these are all the same ilk.
And, you know, it seems to me that it's interesting. I was talking with one of my guys today, and we were actually discussing the original sin, Adam and Eve in the garden, and what that sin was. And I said, well, you know, it really is immaterial as far as the actual carrying out of the act, whether it was, mm-hmm. you know, just simply eating a fruit, which I think is more allegorical than anything else,
mm-hmm.
that's not important. What is important is the effect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was the result, and why was the punishment that was given? And we were discussing it, and I told him, I said, well, here's something that you might not have thought about. Okay, we know that according to Scripture in Genesis, that Adam and Eve were in the garden. We know that they ate from the fruit of the tree of life. And we know that they were told, don't eat from this tree.
Forbidden, right.
The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? Well, let's look at it in a logical sense. You have two beings. They're as close to perfect as can be in the flesh, in a human form, and there's a mechanism built in. As long as they eat this one particular food source, live in the flesh forever.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to continually partake of this fruit. Now, if they get a hold of the wrong stuff and they suddenly have knowledge of good and evil, or right and wrong, well, then they become aware, okay, of their actions, and then they develop intent.
Mm.
They can have intent. And because they gain knowledge and they live forever, they will be exponentially growing in that knowledge and become more and more and more and more evil. And more and
right.
more and more able.
Right, to perpetrate. Well, what they did was, A, they disobeyed and ticked him off royally.
Right. Oh, I agree.
And what with that act, they separated themselves spiritually from him.
That is correct.
He was so angered.
Right, and so they get kicked out of the garden. Why? Well, in part, I believe, so that they can no longer partake of that fruit of the tree of life. Because they would have eternal life and knowledge, both. And the two are not conducive to one another.
Well, yeah, in, not in that, that special place of paradise that he had created for them.
So they have a life. They have a lifespan, and they expire before their knowledge gets to the too great.
Exactly.
Are we not approaching that level? I think now, when we look at all the stuff with the 3D printing and all the availability, I mean, one of the quests of science is perpetual life. You know, the fountain of youth. My God, how long has that been a
myth,
a want, a pursuit of the human race?
Oh yeah,
and because of our internet and the availability at your fingertips of information, knowledge is growing at an exponential rate. It's squared.
And when because of the 3D printing, they're calling them replicators now. And there are various price ranges, and I can't afford them, but or I'd be making magazine clips.
Magazine, not clips.
Yeah, you know what I mean, the clip-in.
Right.
That's why they call them that. But one has to be very, very careful. One can use anything, whether it's fire or ammunition or anything, as a good tool, or you can must treat this new technology like fire, because you don't. If it controls you, you're going to get burned badly. You got to be real careful when you're going down this slope. You know, with the artificial intelligence, et cetera. That's scary stuff.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And you know, I think to everyone's point, and, you know, I agree with Doc, that it was disobedience to God. It was a betrayal. And man trying to be as God. Why would they want to do that? Well, but Satan, the adversary, the serpent, told them, you won't die.
And they sucked
you
up the
Kool-Aid. You will be as God. Well, what has mankind been trying to do ever since we got our butts kicked out of the garden? Trying to be like God. What was the problem in Babylon, the Tower of Babel, but Nimrod trying to be God himself and was cast down? So, I mean, when you look at the story, I think pragmatically and logically it makes a lot of sense. And God didn't tell them a lie. They would surely die because they were no longer had access to the fountain of youth that was in the garden. So, yeah, okay, without it, you're going to die. And you're going to die with this knowledge, but what good does this knowledge do you? It does you no good. It actually does you harm. Because now that you know the difference between right and wrong, you are going to be responsible for every choice you make in your life. Yes, Robert?
May I ask a stupid question? I know a question is not stupid.
Well, you may. Absolutely.
But can one buy ammunition without buying a firearm?
Absolutely.
Sure. Right now. If you could
even
buy
even when I lived in Illinois, the communist regime in Illinois, where you had to have a firearm owner's identification card, a FOID card, you could still use it to purchase ammunition. You didn't have to own a gun.
So, you know, Ron, when you talk about... I'm sorry, Robert, go ahead.
That's what I just wanted to clarify that. So, in other words, if one wanted to buy a .38, so to speak, one could just go ahead and start buying ammunition and stuff before all that.
If you can find it. At this point, my recommendation would be to buy an old-fashioned Wild Wild West gun in a .45 Colt.
There you go.
And the reason I say that is because every place I've gone looking for ammunition, the one thing I always see on the shelf is .45 Colt.
Wow.
And trust
me, Robert,
those damn
do...
things are very accurate, and they're a good tool.
Robert, when I sent you that information, I hope you received the email.
I saved your email. I haven't erased it.
Oh, good.
I don't
try to do your step-by-step. Get yourself trained. Go feel the guns in your hand. Find out the prices. Have somebody down at the gun range show you stuff. Ask them how much their lessons are. Man, get real comfortable with it. Have it feel good in your hands. Make sure the recoil's not too much. You know, I mean,
Robert,
you need to get trained.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
How's your schedule next week?
It's pretty busy, Ron. I'm just like, I'm really, really, I've been so busy, I haven't even went down to see Frank, and that's what, I didn't get to see him during the holidays. I've been really slammed. But why? What do you
want me because to I'm going
to
be off work all next week, and I was going to tell you, you know, let's make a plan. You come up one weekend, and, you know, you and I can spend a day together on a Sunday. We'll go out, look at a few. Hell, I've got enough you can look at to decide if you want a 45 or not. My collection is growing. But, I mean, seriously, and it's a personal choice. But
I personally think
with everything that's going on, you have to have a way to defend yourself.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, the first portion of your segment with all the statistics and with your pet, I mean, I'm pretty, you know, Ron, I wouldn't be able to have my certified court reporter's license for the state of Georgia. They wouldn't give me one, and my nursing assistant's license, they wouldn't give me one without me being, believe me, I'm pretty confident I can pass that. You know, there's nothing. I'm clean. I've never been arrested. I just never been arrested.
There's nothing. There's certainly nothing to be afraid of. And you know, if you're fully armed, you're not going to suddenly start lurking around the house thinking about shooting people. Well, you might. I don't know. But
Robert.
They have, I don't know how much they charge for them because I don't own one. They have those little boxes where you can keep it if you want it to keep it away from someone else in the house. Put your handprint on it and go.
Well, yeah, well.
My personal opinion is that's a waste of time. But
I know, but.
I understand. And, you know, here in Georgia, Robert, I don't know about down where you're at in Florida. But the local sheriff's office here in Bartow County, just up the road, they offer free handgun training courses.
Cool. I have to check out. I have to go back to Sarasota County and ask them if they'll train me.
Because
really,
they understand people want to exercise their Second Amendment right, and that's great. And they want them to at least have some entry level of training so that, you know, to try and mitigate the stupid crap that goes on, like the idiot in North Carolina that brings a loaded 12-gauge shotgun to a gun show and depresses the trigger when he's taking it out of the zippered case for the police officer to inspect it before he goes into the gun show with it, for God's sakes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, what an idiot. And then in Indiana, up in Bill's neck of the woods, you actually had a firearms dealer purchase an AR-15 from a citizen, and at least he was practicing some of the proper gun safety, pointing the muzzle towards the floor. He pulled the magazine out and pulled the trigger and discharged a live round that was in the weapon, which skipped off the floor and hit one of his employees. What a flipping idiot. The very first thing you do is you point the muzzle in a safe direction. Second thing you do, remove the magazine, pull back the bolt, and ensure the weapon is clear. You never stick your finger on the trigger. You always treat every weapon as if it's loaded, period.
Yep.
You don't put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to shoot.
Oh, my
just
God.
Be like Barney Fife and only have one bullet in the gun.
You know what? You think about that statement. Think about the Andy Griffith Show and what they were trying to teach you with Barney Fife, okay? Barney, they wanted everyone in America to believe that anybody that owned a gun was just like Barney, and they should be limited to one bullet. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. Thanks for joining us. It's been a great show.
God bless.
Make sure to tune in here tomorrow night, 7 p.m. for Patriot Families Chat, Wednesday at 7 for Miss Linda. God bless everybody, and we'll see you on the board.
Thank you for all your advice.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.